it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We've returned from the Indo Expo in Portland, Oregon. Big old trade show here. And made some new friends. I got a stack of business cards about an inch thick. Got those all entered into my Google contacts this morning. If you're one of those interviewees and you're listening, thanks for joining us here on the live stream. And remember, the special I was offering everyone at the show is still in effect for the next week. If you'd like to advertise or sponsor the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, just send me an email, RadicalRuss@gmail.com. You could be one of the ads that get played throughout my podcast. And let me tell you, my listeners listen to these ads and they support the advertisers and sponsors who help to make this show popular. They are very loyal, let me tell you. I spoke to one listener at the show who, you ever, how can I bring this up without it sounding like a humble brag? I just want to relay the experience and I don't want you to think I'm all full of myself. But this, you ever have a situation where someone's complimenting you and it's just like one compliment too many and you're kind of getting like embarrassed, like well, anyway, nice fella, and I apologize because his name escapes me at the moment because I've smoked a bit of weed, but he was just so nice and said, oh, you do such a professional job and I love your show and very informative and you really well, and it, like, every just kept going and going, and it was really nice, very, very nice fella. But it was one of those situations where you're like, geez, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. But he brought a bunch of folks over, brought a bunch of advertising or possible sponsors over. We'll be talking to them and emailing back and forth. And anyway, he as he was talking to me, he said, so who's that that company that advertises the guitars? I'm like, oh, Fingerboard Extension. He goes, yeah. That do they do like mail order? Are they like an international shipper or something? Are they just like a store in Corvallis, Oregon? I go, yeah, they're just a store in Corvallis. Yeah, they just the owner of the store has been a big supporter of mine for a long time and keeps buying advertising. I couldn't tell you if it's helped get one guitar sold or repaired, but I appreciate the support. And I like the fact that you've listened to the show so long, you knew that it was the Fingerboard Extension in Corvallis, Oregon. So the advertising's work. Is that advertising works is what I'm trying to tell you here. Folks that listen to the Russ Belville Show are the high end, if you'll pardon the pun, of your cannabis aficionados, your movement leaders in local chapters of Normal, in SSDP, in various cannabis-related organizations, even at the national level. Some of the best bloggers and reporters out there are listening, and some of the best lawyers and judges even, I know, are listening to this show. So you got a pretty eclectic audience, and the kind of audience that is serious about this, not just as, hey, I like to smoke pot and get high, but they're serious about this as a culture, as a movement, and a new industry. So if you'd like to advertise, or sponsor the Russ Belville Show. And if you'd like to know what the difference is, just send me an email, radicalruss@gmail.com. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we get our first of three interviews from the Indo Expo in Portland, Oregon. Do a little politics with Drew from the Gary Johnson campaign. I talked to him about Gary Johnson and Bill Weld's appearance on CNN in the Libertarian Town Hall and the chances of getting to 15% in the polls so that they can make the debate. And what is the Libertarian pathway to 270 electoral votes? That's coming up right after these messages from our loyal sponsors.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
Hey, this is Tommy Chong. This is Ray Dawn on the other mic.
Yes, the eldest. It was
and
awesome.
And we saw, it was called Dying to Know.
It's a love story between Ram Dass and Tim Leary.
Yeah, the gay Jew and Tim.
But he wasn't gay when he was a professor. He didn't know.
Yeah, that must have been a shock to his wife.
The one time he, like, met a vagina.
The Tommy Chong Podcast. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today. Or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are live at the Indo Expo 2016, Portland, Oregon, at the Expo Center. I'm Radical Russ with CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show. And we have our first guest here live at the desk. We're going to talk a little bit of politics with Drew Leda. He's with the Gary Johnson for President campaign. Drew, welcome to the show. Try that again.
Well, thank you very much.
Where is he? There he is. Wasn't plugged in.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me on.
They work better when they're plugged in, I've discovered. So the Gary Johnson campaign, this is kind of, politically speaking, a perfect storm for a third party, for libertarians. We've got the Democrats nominating Hillary Clinton, the Republicans nominating Donald Trump, the two most disliked presidential nominees from the major parties ever. Gary Johnson and Governor Weld were just on the CNN town hall. Tell us what's the latest in the Gary Johnson campaign and how you feel about this opportunity.
Well, the Gary Johnson campaign has been picking up a lot of steam over the past couple days, which is actually very easy when you have two opponents whose plan is to threaten you with each other. We've been getting a lot more media exposure on the national stage, and events like this really that lay down why Gary's plan is a good one, because places like this outline Gary's plan. You exercise personal liberties, then you make your own job, and then you free a market.
So the roadblocks that are established right now, for people that don't know, It used to be we had the League of Women Voters that ran the debates. And it was kind of all the way up through 88, I think it was.
It was through 88, yeah, during the George H.W. Bush and Michael Dukakis race.
There we go. And then the Democrats and the Republicans kind of took it over. The League of Women Voters dropped it. They took over, formed a debate commission, and they set up these rules that make it really difficult for third parties to make it. The rule right now is that they have to get 15% in five polls, but then they're not always in the polls. So it kind of makes it difficult. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's a very interesting point of view, because right now what we're facing is we have a suit before the we have a suit going with the FCC regarding the Commission on Presidential Debates, which I'm not sure if this is common knowledge, but this is a nonprofit corporation. It's not a government agency.
Right.
That basically its mandate is you are run 50% by Democrats and 50% Republicans. That doesn't really sound like a fair platform by which you get your third-party candidate involved in the debates, especially when that lawsuit is being sat upon by a Bush-nominated Republican judge. Under normal circumstances, many people would view that a conflict of interest and would request a judge that had anything to do with this situation to recuse themselves. But that is, alas, not where we're at right now, and we're trying to put political pressure in the appropriate positions without compromising our candidate's integrity.
The latest I've seen, I saw a Fox News poll that had Governor Johnson at 12%. I've seen other polls at the 10 and 9, 8 level. Have you had any bounce from this town hall that you've seen yet? Has there been any polling lately?
There has been polling upticks. As you know, people are slow to change their minds. I think one of the best polls that we could take a look at are the people who are most concerned with this, and that's our military. They get a chance every 4 years to choose their boss. And Gary Johnson has been polling higher than either. He's in the 30s. And why that isn't considered a national poll is beyond me.
Interesting. So let's say that everything goes well. We get five polls in a row at 15%. Governor Johnson makes the debates. From that point, what is the roadmap to electoral victory? Because there still needs to be a collection of 270 electoral votes at the end of the day. And so that's, you know, a lot of different races in a lot of different states that Gary Johnson has to win. What's the roadmap?
Well, the roadmap is this. Even the most politically uneducated America knows the difference between moving forward and not moving at all. And they're recognizing that either of the two choices in front of us are bad. Like I said, our best PR for this campaign is our opponents. They're being a little bit less than statesmanlike in their approach. And essentially, once we get Gary on the debates, we have the unique opportunity where we can attack the liberals from the left, we can attack the conservatives from the right, and then pretty much make them both look obsolete down the middle.
Now, in the CNN town hall that just took place this week, that this point about the 15% and getting in the debates was mentioned. And Governor Johnson said how, you know, this is 50 million viewers, this is the Super Bowl. If you're not in that game, you can't win. So if Gary Johnson doesn't make the debates, does he stay in the race? Because what would be the point if he can't? If he himself says he can't win without being in them?
I can't speak for Gary Johnson, but for every political alignment test I've taken, my position lands right on top of his name. So if his opinion is anything like mine, you don't respond to, you know, adversity by throwing your hands up into the air. Remember, this is a guy who has climbed the highest mountain on all seven continents. He does triathlons, and we're talking about a 63-year-old man. You're not going to slow Gary down. He'll just change tacks, and he'll approach it from the statesman-like middle. Our competition will continue to threaten us with each other, and things will take care of itself on the national level. People are really starting to understand that there is a safety valve for democracy in place, and we don't have to be scared of them anymore.
The knock that gets issued every 4 years when it comes to third-party voting is the idea that you're wasting a vote or that you're somehow allowing the candidate you least like to get elected. We could look back to the Clinton-Bush-Perot race in 92, where Perot sucked away enough of the vote from George H.W. Bush, the incumbent, that Bill Clinton won the presidency with just 43% of the vote. 57% of the people did not want that guy to be president. What do you think about that, about this third-party voting and the possibility of being a spoiler?
Well, A lot of people don't know this, but in the 1850s and 1860s, a gentleman by the name of Abraham Lincoln was running on a third-party candidacy. Remember, the Republican Party came about as a result of the abolitionment issue. So the idea that a third party can't win is ludicrous. We've had several major parties in this country that no longer exist: the Federalists, the Whigs, the Know-Nothings, the Bull Moose Party. In a lot of ways, political parties can represent a conflict of interest or a filter between the people and their government. And people are starting to understand this at a lot higher of a level. And it's making them take a little bit more accountability for their own vote.
I don't know if the Civil War era splits in the parties are really analogous, given that we had a Civil War that divided this. And Abraham Lincoln was running the Republican Party, which is a reconstitution of the Whigs, against a Democratic Party that had split because of slavery into Southern and Northern Democrats. But you do make a good point. The Bull Moose Party, the Progressive Party of Teddy Roosevelt, had, 88 electoral votes, I think, they got in that election. So there is some room for this, and I do want to see more voices. The last thing I want to bring up is, as you're trying to get this 15% for Governor Gary Johnson to get into the debates, I look at some of the four-way polling, and it shows if you added Jill Stein and Gary Johnson, it'd be over 15% in a series of polls at this point. Does it feel like Jill is kind of a fourth-party spoiler to this third-party opportunity?
I wouldn't view that as an issue at all at this point. Not too many people know that the suit going with the Commission for Presidential Debates, Jill Stein is a co-plaintiff with Gary Johnson.
Okay.
These people have years of experience working towards the same goals. I've heard rumors circulating that she would be his top pick for Surgeon General. So who else would you put? There's rumors I've heard. I don't know if they're true or not. But
yeah.
It's an interesting proposition because it enables her to have a ability to influence policy beyond that of her electoral potential. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The green movement's becoming a little bit more to the forefront here when we start to realize things like, issues like the environment are not economic externalities. These are very important, and that's why Gary Johnson's consumption tax is a really good idea, because you're not taxed on what you make. You're not taxed on, how much money you have in savings. You save, you're taxed on the burden you put on the planet. So a lot of people might consider that really laissez-faire, but that is the fairest thing we could do for the planet. You're taxed on what you use. That sounds fairly, if they had taxes in Star Trek, they might be done like that.
Star Trek tax, I like that. All right, Drew, thank you for telling us about the Gary Johnson campaign, and let me give you this opportunity to tell people the websites or Facebooks or any of the contact stuff they need to learn more about this in depth.
Absolutely. The main national website is johnsonweld.com. It's the perfect venue for you to make contributions, volunteer to help with the campaign. Please help to volunteer with our campaign.
Yes, yes.
And a way for you to get in touch with local establishments. Like we have the Oregon for Gary Johnson has been very active, and Portland for Gary Johnson, which I'm affiliated with, has been trying to do our very small part in this very big election.
All right. Well, Drew, thanks for stopping by. The Gary Johnson campaign, very interesting, folks. We're shaking things up with the third parties. Look up the Libertarian Party and the Johnson Weld campaign. At least get yourself informed about it. You deserve to, have all the voices heard, right?
Thank you very much. That's all we need.
Logical
take care of the rest.
We are going to return to the Indo Expo. Thanks for joining us here live on CannabisRadio.com. Great time at the Indo Expo. My thanks to Drew for sitting in with us. We had another guy from the Johnson campaign wanted to speak, but I'm like, no, I've already done one political today, and the more I speak with libertarians, the more I want to get into history lessons. So probably best we leave it at one interview. So we've got more of this coming up in our next segment. Jonah from MRX Labs talking about extraction technology, and then David from Willamette Valley Aquaponics. A little bit of a pause there before the bell. It's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our safety meeting.
When we come back, like I said, Jonah from MRX Labs learn all about extraction technology when we return.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch. And the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the Cannabis Liberation Movement takes a huge step forward, and Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the Cannabis Crusade. Join us Thursday, November 8th for Vote 2016, The Path to Cannabis Freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I am a round peg in a square hole.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hi, everybody. Radical Russ here at the 2016 Portland Indo Expo. And joining us here at the Cannabis Radio Lounge, we have Jonah from MRX Labs. Hi, Jonah. How you doing?
Hey, doing really good, Russ. Just really excited to be here today on a beautiful day in Oregon here.
Yeah, MRX Labs here is one of our testing facilities for cannabis in, is it just Oregon or are you all over?
No, right now we're just in Oregon right now. But we're having plans to expand into other states here.
What has it been like trying to get some consistency, some regulations, working with the state here as far as setting up the testing industry?
Yeah, we're really excited about it as a whole. You know, when my family and I started this company about 2.5 years ago, there was no standards, no requirements, no oversight, no accreditation. And that was a lot of problem in this industry. Essentially, people weren't all testing the same standards. And so we're really excited about accreditation coming, where there's now set standards that everyone tests to, set rules. And so it kind of puts everyone in the same level field where customers can feel really confident, patients, you know, about the test results. It's not easy to get accredited, so the labs that actually get accredited, I don't think people are going to have to question anymore what the results are.
So on the baseline test, if someone was going to work with MRX Labs, they'd be learning potency, CBD, and if it's contaminated, maybe go into some detail on what is it you're looking for when you're testing.
Sure. Under the new testing requirements that the OLCC and OHA have set forth, they've really specified what tests we're doing now. And that's your cannabinoid profile, which they're requiring your THC and your CBD. And then we also offer additional minor cannabinoids as well that customers just want to know about. And then mold and mildew is getting removed, and it's going to be going to a water activity which gives you essentially an idea of the likelihood of mold mildew coming in the future.
Oh.
And then also your pesticide testing as well. And they have it set with exact analytes and pesticides. It used to be pretty broad before, but now it's very defined and laid out with exact parts per million and what analytes to look for. And then also on the residual solvent side as well.
On that the thing you mentioned about mold, is this like instead of waiting to find that you've actually got mold, you're trying to see whether, you know, try to prevent it before it happens?
That's exactly right. It's more of a, the water activity is more of an indicator.
And this is a change they've come up with.
That is correct, yes.
And so this would be the baseline to make sure it's compliant with Oregon regulations. Are there tests you offer that go beyond that to find other pieces that aren't required but might be of interest?
Sure. So we also do offer the traditional mold and mildew test as well. And then we'll also be offering E. coli and Salmonella testing as well. And then coming down the future here, we're looking at essentially doing some strain identification and genealogy as well with some of the DNA technology we have.
Excellent. This is MRX Labs. We're talking about full spectrum testing here of cannabis products in the state of Oregon. Are there any, for the people that are the producers that are going to be bringing you products, some tips you can give them that will ease this process, make it better, more accurate or easier for you guys to handle?
Sure. And actually what's really changing too is it's no longer going to be one of those things where customers can just bring samples. Under the new rules, there's going to have actually what they call sampling labs, okay, which we've also applied for that accreditation as well. And so now we're going to have to come on site and actually pull the sample ourselves. And it's very specific, like the rules and requires. So you're no longer just going to be able to pick your own sample and submit it. But what I would recommend is, for questions such as you asked, is I'd recommend you come in and talk to some of our scientists and chemists, and they kind of give you some ideas and input on things just to make sure you're compliant. And we want to be used as a resource. And so we have a kind of an open door policy, and we encourage customers to come visit our lab. You can show up anytime from 10 to 7, essentially Monday through Saturday, and get a lab tour. And then we have chemists and scientists on staff that could take you through the whole entire process of the current rules, where they're at, and questions you have. If you have questions about recipe design, you know, a lot of our customers are going from making, 25, 50 brownies at a time in their kitchen, and now they're looking to make 1,000 at a time. And so, you know, your dosages are a really important part of that. And to be able to hit those dosages. And so we recommend you come in and talk to some of our chemical scientists as far as recipe design, and they can help you with your recipe to hit those dosages.
Hmm. So I see on your flyer you're offering 1-day, 2-day, and 3-day testing, and it gets less expensive the longer it goes. So is this like a rush thing where like what you'd get in 3 days you can get in 1 day?
It is. There's also some different technology we use for getting the 1-day turnaround test right now. That is going to be changing under the ORLAP accreditation, because that 1 day is kind of tied into the mold mildew, which a lot of companies used to use just petri dishes, which was like a 48 to 72 hour waiting period. But now we developed some assays with some DNA technology that essentially accelerate the growth and determine if there was a pass-fail in about 20 minutes.
Hmm.
And so that's kind of changing under the new rules. But however, with the staff we have, we've grown from about 2 to 25 staff. In the equipment we have, we will be able to keep up those turnaround times as well.
When I go to the dispensary and I am choosing from a bunch of strains that are out there on the display, one of the things I always note is the THC potency, and I'll see something like 17.68%. Are we really getting down to the hundredths of a percent in accuracy, or is there like a margin of error?
There is a variance, essentially.
Okay.
And believe it or not, the state actually says there could be a 30% variance.
What?
But that said, typically we see, we've done a lot of sampling and a lot of analytical runs as far as verifying results, and typically we see less than a 3% variance. So yeah, so if you tested something one time and it came in at 17.56, is there a chance that it come in at 17.2 on a retest? Yes, that is correct.
But that's a lot better than a 30% swing that takes your 20% bud from 14 to 26.
That is correct.
That's crazy.
And that's one of the things too you'll see, which we're really excited about, is the state's actually finally required how to report THC properly, and that's to report the decarboxylated amount. And that's where a lot of times you would just see people adding, the THC A and the delta 9.
Yeah.
And you're really supposed to then multiply that by 0.875 and get the actual decarboxylated amount. And labs, a lot of labs haven't been doing that for a long time just because, you know, it puts a higher potency number out. And so the state has required that. And so by October 1st, you will see a consistent reporting from all labs on that side.
So we may just see like a point at which the THC potencies drop 2 or 3 points because of that adjustment?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's correct. A lot of labs, we've been doing that for the last, I'd have to look, since the state recommended we started doing that, I think 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay.
And so we've been doing it since then. And so, yes, you will be seeing that. Essentially, you probably won't no longer see very many 26% to 30%. And if it is, then they're amazing growers.
Yeah.
With what they're doing there.
Well, this is fascinating stuff. Jonah from MRX Labs, tell folks, how our listeners out there, how they can get in touch with you guys if they want more information.
Absolutely. You can visit us on our website at www.mrxlabs.com, or feel free to give us a call at 503-954-3992. We also have a free courier service all throughout the state of Oregon. And Russ, I don't know if you have an extra minute or two, but
yeah,
I just wanted
ahead.
To tell you, we also have a separate company too called MRX Extractors.
Oh, okay.
And how we actually got involved in building supercritical CO2 extractors was being on the lab side. A lot of the oils we saw coming into our lab a couple years ago on the CO2 side were very dark, didn't have any terpene profiles mm-hmm. in there. And traditionally the knock on CO2 is that it strips the product of the terpenes. And so my partner, Paul Tommaso, who's an engineer, we had a chance to talk to a lot of our customers who are using other technology out there, and we wanted to set out to build a supercritical CO2 extractor that would have full process control that would preserve the terpenes through the extraction process. And so we launched our 20-liter extractor just over a year ago and have been selling those nationwide, but we're also a complete kind of turnkey technology company where we also have rotovapes, post-processing, cartridge filling machines, and a new machine we're excited about that will actually separate and isolate the cannabinoids to take it to pharmaceutical grade of like 99% CBD,
wow.
THC. And so we're kind of a one-stop complete extraction engineering company as well, based in Canby, but we service customers, like I said, now North America side.
Yeah.
And so we would love to talk to people that have questions about their extraction needs. And then we also just came out with our 100-liter extractor that'll process about 50 pounds at a time. And so we're doing a lot of that with, you know, some of the big cannabis extraction companies, but also the hemp side too as well. And so that's a company that we're really excited about, and that's just been growing like crazy as well. And would also extend the invitation to anybody that wanted to come and tour our facility on that side too.
Yeah. Is that a separate website?
It is. It's www.fyrr, and that's FIYRR.com. And the name of that company is MRX Extractors.
All right. Fantastic, Jonah. MRX Labs, MRX Extractors. What's MRX stand for?
So when we started that as a family business a few years ago, number one, we wanted to be something unique.
Yeah.
And wanted to keep it short and simple. A lot of people actually call us Mr. X.
I was going to say, is that what it means? Or?
No, and actually what that was, what essentially was almost like medical prescription in a deal.
Oh, okay.
or marijuana prescription. And with the RX, of course, being the pharmaceutical side. And the thing, how we test, we want to test to a pharmaceutical level. And also the equipment that we build, we want to be able to take the product to pharmaceutical level as well. So the RX really ties in with the medical or marijuana.
Right on. All right. Well, Jonah, thank you. And everyone check out MRXLabs.com. We'll bring you more here from the Portland Indo Expo. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Russ.
All right. Take it easy. We'll be back with more right after this. MRX Labs there at the Indo Expo. We've got more Indo Expo highlights coming up next, our third interview of hour two. And this one was, I learned a lot in this interview because I've talked to guys that do hydroponics and I've talked to guys that do aeroponics. I'd never talked to a guy who does aquaponics. That's when Aquaman tends to your crop. No, that's not it. But it involves fish. Vegetarian fish. It's the damnedest thing. What will us weedheads think of next? We're back in just 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line. Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture here.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com. The National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ at the 2016 Portland Indo Expo, and I'm here with David, who is with Willamette Valley Aquaponics. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, let me get that back up. Let's try that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is a pleasure to be here. Yeah, I am a startup business. I'm from Monmouth,
okay.
Oregon. I don't know if too many people really know where that's at, but...
You're a second person today from Monmouth on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Keep that mic close to your face there so we can hear you.
Yeah, I might know them. So I build design aquaculture systems that can grow food and medicine.
Yeah.
Cannabis. I've been doing it now for about a year with the cannabis, but food for over 6 years. And I'm passionate about good, healthy, organic food. I was an alcoholic. I quit drinking about 10 years ago now. And I ran into problems with my stomach, digestion, all these things that were plaguing me after I should be feeling better, you know,
yeah.
And I was wondering why. So I started doing research and I learned about our food system and all the agrochemical companies and the petroleum-based fertilizers that we use and the kind of the vicious bankruptcy loophole I see the farms getting into. I grew up in a small town, farming community. I watched a lot of farms after the National American Free Trade Agreement got passed that had to go bankrupt and lost their livelihoods, you know. So I'm passionate about good farming practices. And so that led me down, you know, the good food wormhole. And I see the cannabis industry right now in its infancy and what it is and what it potentially could grow into. But I also see it as an opportunity for legislators to start pointing fingers on any kind of like environmental or resource management issues that are going to arise in the future, like energy use, water resources. Water right now is one of the most precious resources we have on this planet, and it's being polluted at an alarming rate. And so if I can do anything to help that, I'm going to. So aquaponics is a great way to grow not only food, but cannabis and really any plant. I've grown every single plant you can probably think of, for the most part, in this system. I have 3-pound papayas growing in my system. I figured out the fruiting problems. Aquaponics produces a lot of nitrogen. It uses a natural bacteria in the system. So in all aquatic systems, they have natural bacteria that convert the ammonia that the fish produce into a less harmful substance, a nitrate, which is nitrogen. So if you recirculate the water through grow beds, I use 3/4-inch round river rock. It seems to be the best media I've found, and I've tried a lot of different ones. There's a few reasons for that, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But the bacteria convert it to nitrogen, basically. So the plants remove the nitrogen and clean the water for the fish, and it works on a symbiotic relationship, and it recirculates. So you use about 90% less water to grow the same amount of crops.
Yeah, so let me make sure that I'm catching up, because I know a lot about the politics and the stats of cannabis, but the growing of it is new to me in a lot of ways. First of all, when you say aquaponics, are we differing this from hydroponics in which way? What's the difference?
Yes, the difference is that you use aquaculture water. So it's a living water. It has fish in it.
You're using fish water.
I use tilapia. I'm growing tilapia at my home system right now. I've got a 200-square-foot system, and then I'm building my first commercial system in Willamina.
The weed's not in with the fish. They're not swimming amongst the buds.
No. They're in the grow bed, but they share the same water.
Okay.
Yeah. So the fish produce the fertile input to the system.
All right.
And so just fish feed. Well, tilapia like vegetables. They don't like meat sources. So
Well,
one of the main problems in the aquaculture industry today is that they use fish-farmed fish meal protein. So fish meal protein is kind of bad in a lot of different ways. And one of them is that it can bioaccumulate heavy metals and other pollutants out of the ocean. And then you feed it to fish, it bioaccumulates in them, and then you sell them to people, and we eat it, and it bioaccumulates in us. So the search for a plant-based protein is one that the aquaculture industry really desperately needs. And there's a couple things I see that could potentially save that. Hemp is one of them.
Yeah.
Duckweed is another, which hardly anybody knows about, but it's the weeds that grow on top of ponds. It looks like a green carpet.
Yeah.
That has all 7 amino acids and a complex protein and is one of the most digestible. You can feed it to everything from chickens to, goats to cows to humans. And it harnesses the energy of the sun and the nitrates that are in aquatic systems.
Sure.
And grows and creates a biomass.
Okay.
So there's options for the fish fertile or the protein source for aquaculture, but tilapia kind of solved that problem because they just like plants. That's what they want to eat.
Gotcha.
So I have an urban farm in Monmouth that has an aquaponic system. I'm trying to get my house to pay for itself by marketing the produce that it produces and eventually hire somebody who needs a job and a place to live to manage it. And then buy another one and keep doing this. But I also want to build my business. I'm a startup business. I'm a sole guy trying this right now. I'm working a full-time job. I work for Sequential Pacific Biodiesel in Salem, Oregon. It's my full-time job. I work 312s, and we recycle used cooking oil on a very large scale for the most part, about 7 million gallons a year. So it's a fun job, and it's a great job, and I love it. But I really want to do my own thing, and I really feel that I can help this industry make a really good name for themselves and grow into something that could really be fruitful. But not only that, produce a really high-quality organic product.
Right.
And so everybody who's tried my cannabis really enjoys it and says that it's the smoothest they've ever had, and really the effects are great. So
that's wonderful. Do you eventually get to eat the tilapia?
You do.
Yeah.
And they are good. And I did some side-by-side comparison with the store-bought stuff because most of the tilapia in America is produced in China, Singapore, Indonesia, and places where they're grown in some pretty low water qualities and fed fish meal,
gotcha.
Pellet food. And so it tastes different. It also is pink, and my fish is like pure white.
Oh.
And it doesn't, my fit or the stuff from the store tasted really dirty, like dirty water. And mine tastes exceptionally clean and just like a white fish.
Wow.
And so it was really good. And I'm excited. So I'm building a Bear Farms in Willamina, Oregon. They are a fourth generation farm, 400 acres. They're trying to do it right. They don't want to use the pesticides, the chemical fertilizers, and get locked into that cost and that overhead. So they've seen aquaponics as a way to not only produce more with less, but a better quality product to increase their profits, but also to updrive their foot traffic. Mm-hmm. People come from a long way around to just see an aquaponic system. So they come there, they sell more produce. You know, while you're there, you might as well buy some eggs and some meat and whatever else, some fish and maybe some lettuce. So we're building a 30-by-85-foot system that should produce anywhere between 24 and 36,000 head of lettuce a year on the low end. So just on low end sales, you know, $2 to $3 a head for these, you know, lettuce because of how like big and beautiful they are, because they haven't been handled as much. They get sold locally, they're picked fresh. You're looking, you know, at $70,000 to $100,000 a year with about a $20,000 to $40,000 startup cost.
Wow.
So it's, I make all my own tanks. I want to get into the manufacturing. I am really interested in plant plastics. It's the way everything has to go is towards plants anyways. Sure. I've known it for years, and now it's happening. So I'm excited, and I thank you for letting me speak today. I appreciate it.
No, this is great how you could integrate all these things, and I was just thinking circle of life here. You said the tilapia like eating vegetables. Are you feeding them any of the leaf or bud from the what you grow that was made from their water?
I tried some leaf. I tried to feed them some of the leaf just because, you know, it shouldn't hurt them, you know. Yeah. But they don't like it. I think it's because it's kind of spicy.
Oh.
They don't like arugula either. But okay. They love lettuce, kale, and I use a soy-based pellet food that I buy that's USDA organic, and yeah. I supplement with that a little bit in, like, the winter months. But for the most part, they eat a lot of worms, and then I do black soldier fly larvae. Huh. I don't know if you know what those are, but black soldier fly are, like, everywhere, and they can eat, their larvae can eat, they're like a maggot.
Yeah,
but right. they don't carry any diseases. So that's one of the problems why you don't want to feed your chickens, you know, maggots or your fish maggots, is because they can carry disease from what they're in. These things like the nastiest stuff you could think of, right? And they're really efficient, but they go through a 7-phase pupa stage. So at some point they lose their mouth. That's their cue to find a hole and turn into a fly. But if you put a ramp inside of a bin with all your waste in there, when they lose their mouth, they'll climb the ramp and harvest themselves and fall into a cup. You can freeze these. And so I use all my food waste from my kitchen. I mean, everything from like old dairy to meats, cheeses, all that stuff can go into this bin. And I keep it out in my compost area. And every day in the summer, I'm getting larva and I feed it to the fish. So it's a way to convert my household waste into a protein source that I can freeze and feed my fish.
Wow.
So I like to produce all my own food, all my own fertilizers, all my own nutrients. I've solved the fruiting problems in the aquaponic system, and it is a very, very viable way to grow cannabis and food in the same system.
Yeah.
So if you want food security and medicine security, I can build you a system that can handle that.
This is fascinating to me, and I'm still trying to kill the visual in my head of these maggots losing their mouths and then desperately crawling up the ramp to freedom.
If you watch their 7-phase stages to a fly, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And they do it relatively quickly, but they, you know, they lay so many eggs, there's so many of them, they can process a ton of waste and just turn it into a protein.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And I love this kind of repurposing, closed loop, recycling, steady state kind of idea here.
Mother Nature has solved every single problem already. If we don't start modeling every system that we use after Mother Nature, it's going to fall apart.
Absolutely.
It's that
right.
simple. So,
man, this is amazing. Tell folks again how they can learn more about what you're doing, if you got some contacts or.
I do. I'm in Monmouth. I'm the owner and operator of Willamette Valley Aquaponics LLC. Through the last 10 years, I've met a lot of people in the aquaponics community, which is growing rapidly. And one of the best people to contact about schools or learning more is Ingenuity Innovation Center in St. Helens, Oregon. My friends Aaron and Kate have really come a long way, and they're huge movers and shakers in the aquaponics industry. They've helped me, and I've helped them. We're friends, and they're open source. They've also partnered with Murray Hallam from Australia, who is the owner of Practical Aquaponics, and he's kind of the guru right now in aquaponics. He's been doing it the longest, knows the most, has the most successful business, travels all over the world, and helps everybody from third world countries to everybody to get into aquaponics and to realize the potential for growing food and plants in a better way and use more resources better and manage it better.
Yeah,
so,
I love this. This is great stuff. Learn more about this aquaponics, and what was the website again?
I don't have a website, but ingenuityinnovationcenter.com is my friends up in St. Helens.
Okay.
My website isn't set up yet, but you can contact me via Facebook.
Yeah.
My name's David Towery, and I also have a Willamette Valley Aquaponics Facebook page as well. You can message me. Yeah, I'm there. Like I said, I work a full-time job. I'm still really trying to meet the right people to help grow my business.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be investors, I need resources. I would love to eventually be able to offer somebody a system, finance it for them, you know, and then be able to get them to, like, make payments or whatever. So I know not everybody's going to be able to go drop, you know, $20,000 to $50,000 on a giant commercial system, but, you know, I want to be able to grow my business to that point eventually and help everybody,
wow,
farmers to cannabis entrepreneurs. And yeah,
it's a great, great idea here. Willamette Valley Aquaponics. David Towery is the owner and aquapreneur. You can contact him by email at willamettevalleyaquaponics@yahoo.com. Willamette, for those of you who are out of state, is Willamette Valley Aquaponics at yahoo.com, and check them out, Willamette Valley Aquaponics, on Facebook as well. Thanks, David. Great stuff you're doing.
Thank you very much.
All right, stay tuned. We are going to bring you more here as we close up shop at the 2016 Portland Indo Expo. I'm Radical Russ. I really enjoyed that interview with David from Willamette Valley Aquaponics. It's an area of marijuana cultivation I hadn't even heard of before. Using the water from your fish to grow your plants. Very interesting. So check those guys out, Willamette Valley Aquaponics. It sounds really interesting. And if you're trying to set up one of those off-the-grid lifestyles, sounds like a great way to get your medicine and your fish at the same time. We'll be back after a short break here to wind things up on this Monday afternoon. And then Stoner Jesus joins you live at the top of the hour. Stay tuned. It's Cannabis Radio.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Thank you, Dan Michaels. Welcome back, everybody. Closing up shop here from the Ardea Condominium Towers in beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon. A programming reminder that we will be off on Friday. I will be driving across the state of Oregon, making my way back into Prohibition Land, the state of Idaho, where I'll be speaking at the Boise Hemp Fest on Saturday. So speaking out in a truly repressive land, folks, it's going to be interesting. So follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Radical Russ for all the updates from Idaho. Who knows? I may need raise bail money in a hurry. No, I'll try to stay out of the crosshairs of Idaho law enforcement. We'll see how well that goes. Also, the following Friday, I won't be on because we'll be up in Seattle for the Seattle Hemp Fest Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 25th annual Seattle Hemp Fest. I'll be speaking all 3 days. Looking forward to that as well. Coming up next here on CannabisRadio.com, we've got Stoner Jesus joining you. He sees you when you're toking. He knows when you get baked. He knows if you roll joints real good, so roll good for goodness sake. Is that Stoner Jesus or Santa? I can't remember. What's the difference? Stoner Jesus coming up next here on CannabisRadio.com. And my thanks to the Cannabis Radio team. Of course, Wiz Calico was a part of the festivities there. And we also had Darren from Cannabis Radio up. And I got to meet my long-lost cousin, Chad Belleville. That's right. Chad Belleville from Phoenix, actually, spells his last name the same as I do, which is rare. We're one of those rare 3L Bellevilles, right? So the entire weekend, whenever we'd come back to the booth, I'm like, "Hello, Mr. Belleville." He'd like, "Yes, Mr. Belleville," because it's rare for both of us. We never meet anybody that's got our last name, so that was kind of fun. Thanks to you guys. Thanks to Lori Duckworth from formerly from Southern Oregon Normal. Volunteered to help at the booth as well. We had a really good time out there. Looking forward to more good times. Also, be heading to Anchorage, Alaska in September. And Boston for the Boston Freedom Rally. Vancouver, British Columbia coming up in November. I think that winds up most of my travels. Might head out to Jamaica again for the High Times Cannabis Cup in November as well. We'll just have to see how the money comes in. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, with more news and interviews you can use from the cannabis community. More highlights from the Indo Expo coming up as well. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Stoner Jesus. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.